theoretically possible.
Why waste time?
But it doesn't make any sense.
Discovery Houston, press to ATO.
3, 2, 1.
What's up, world? What's up, Quinn? How are you doing as you're dancing to our jam?
Doing good, doing great. I always love dancing to that intro song you made. It's so good.
It just helps us get excited, and I hope it helps our friends get excited too, because there's a lot to be excited about, and there's a lot of energy, and we got some, and we're just trying to put it into your ears, into your body, and hopefully you're going to go kill it.
You know exactly, what I mean? Like that espresso shot that'll just jolt you.
That's a good way. Yeah, started. we could rename our podcast the Espresso Shot That Jolts You. I like that. That's pretty good. But thanks. Yeah, today I wanted to bring up a really interesting. I mean, this is definitely more of an entrepreneurial episode, and
sure.
I recently came across a quote, and I thought it was really, really relevant to anyone who's pursuing any entrepreneurial endeavor and feels that sense of uncertainty or any sense of fear of failure. And it was from none other than Jeff Bezos.
The Jeff Bezos.
Jeff Bezos, game changer, very fascinating individual. Obviously created Amazon, a company that I'm sure you use in some form or another, whether you know it or not.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's true. I mean, because, you know, AWS, which is Amazon Web Services, hosts mm-hmm. pretty much everything that you use. I mean, seriously, everything. Think about any social media app that you use, Google,
Netflix also too.
Social, yeah, Facebook, Instagram. But I will say one thing that we continue to do with these entrepreneurial podcast episodes mm-hmm. is that it's a constant push and challenge, I think, for us as individuals, as well as our listeners, mm-hmm. to really try your best to change and challenge your perspective of failure, right? And yeah. uncertainty. That's
definitely.
Like, that's the thing. It's like, how fearful are you of failure and risk?
Yeah.
Right? With uncertainty and yeah. like trying to challenge your own perspective with it. And I think this does a really great job of doing that.
Well, I 100% believe that in order for you to go and pursue your dream life, and this is saying that your dreams are big, and we do expect that a lot of our listeners are shooting for the stars here. We're shooting for the stars. You know, why would you set yourself up with a tiny dream? Like a tiny dream. Who has little tiny dreams nowadays?
Well, sometimes it starts with a tiny dream and then it becomes a big dream, well, right?
You got to go big. You got to go big. You want to do something significant, something impactful, something with meaning behind it. And if it really is something of that level, then it's got to be a big dream. And
yeah.
in order for you to go after a big dream, you do need to be brave. It's scary. You got to be courageous and attack it and go after it, even when there's so much telling you don't.
Right.
And fear of failure is one thing. And Jeff Bezos kind of hits us on with his shareholder's letter. This is an old one, but it might be one of his most famous ones
yeah.
because there's parts of it that are just so timeless
yeah.
that really help me understand how Amazon became what it is today, which is a monstrous company.
It is. Like, I know.
The way that it kind of came out of just, you know, having books from A to Z from one guy. I mean, I've watched a 60-minute interview where he's like driving around in his Honda and he's like working in a little office desk. Look at it now. It's insane. He's done so much. He's investing into space exploration at this point,
yeah.
and he's taken it to the next level. And I think a large part of that is because the core of who he is and what he believes, the basic bones of who he wants to be, remains the same. And
yeah.
it is that kind of pursuit for innovation and ongoing entrepreneurial endeavors, regardless of how big you are.
Yeah.
By staying true to that, it allowed Amazon to become so massive beyond just books. I mean,
yeah.
like it literally started with books. And now I don't know if there's anything you can't get on Amazon, let alone all the other different benefits you can have from Prime to, I mean, he won Oscars. He won a freaking Oscar.
And
you know,
Emmys.
Like it's so
yeah.
crazy.
I know,
you know,
it is. Well, I would say just before you read it, because I am really excited to hear this,
mm-hmm.
I would highly recommend if you are looking to get like some real insight into the people who are behind a certain company that you admire,
mm-hmm.
or whether it's the CEO, the founder, the chairman, whatever, I highly recommend that you look into the shareholder letters. The
yeah,
annual shareholder letters are really good. I recommend
some are better than the others.
Bezos, Warren Buffett's.
Mm-hmm. He's a good one.
Jamie Dimon with JP Morgan Chase.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. And then today, Bill and Melinda Gates, their annual shareholder, the foundation.
For their foundation.
Yeah, it's amazing. So anyways, let's go back to Jeff Bezos in 2008. Is that what you said? The 2008 shareholder?
No, this is, I think it was a little bit earlier.
Earlier.
That,
okay,
but,
cool.
But basically it was, this is, I'm just going to start quoting it. So you ready? Outsized returns often come from betting against conventional wisdom, and conventional wisdom is usually right. Given a 10% chance of 100 times playoff, you should take that bet every time. But you're still going to be wrong 9 times out of 10. We all know that if you swing for the fences, you're going to strike out a lot, but you're also going to hit some home runs. The difference between baseball and business, however, is that baseball has truncated outcome distribution. When you swing, no matter how well you connect with the ball, the most runs you can get is 4. In business, every once in a while, when you step up to the plate, you can score 1,000 runs. This long-tailed distribution of returns is why it's important to be bold. Big winners pay for so many experiments. Did you like that?
I love that.
I really like that a lot. I heard that in a biography. I mean, it's a super famous quote. Like, of the whole letter, this is the one that's probably most quoted. And I often hear baseball being a comparison to pursuing entrepreneurship, you know, and we often end our episode like, continue to swing for the fences, my friend.
Mm.
But I like how he differentiated business to baseball, where it's as though you're swinging for the fences, but there's exponential potential.
Yeah.
with business, where in baseball you're only, you know, a home run, the most you can get is a grand slam, and so the most you can get is 4 runs from a home run. That's
right.
Best case scenario. But in this one, it's like there's unlimited possibilities of growth if you connect right with the bat and you are swinging for the fences versus just aiming to get on base.
Exactly.
And so I think that's a really beautiful quote that I want to present to have a little bit of a conversation with you about, because as we're promising to ourselves, as we have for ever since we've been together, that we're always going to swing for the fences. We're always going to go for these big massive dreams. It's sometimes scary, and it sometimes gets judged pretty hard, especially when there's you're striking out all the freaking time. It's all an experiment.
Yeah.
But the key is you got to keep playing. You got to keep swinging. And therefore, sometimes we say it straight up on here, you got to ignore the noise. And you got to just focus on the ball. And you also have to accept that experiments, you're going to fail. You know, like he said, 9 times out of 10, you're going to fail. But if you get that one, you should, even if it's 9 out of 10, you're going to fail, you should still swing for the fences the whole entire time. Why? Because there's unlimited potential if you hit a home run.
I love it.
It's really deep.
No, I love it. It does to me too, but I love the analogy of baseball. And I really do understand the connection between entrepreneurship, business, mm-hmm. and baseball. I mean, they're both essentially, they're very quantitatively based, right?
Yep.
They're very numerically understood. Like, if you haven't seen the movie,
Moneyball.
Moneyball.
Love that movie.
You got it. That's
Pitt.
Like, that's basically modern day
My
MLB. Yeah. He's, that's funny.
No, it's not that funny, honey. No, anyways, I do recommend you check it out.
It's
though.
Really good because you can really, you know, calculate the numbers as far as you can. And then there's nothing you can do. Then it's qualitative. And then it's how willing is that person going to practice to get better, to swing more, to swing, you know, like there's a little bit of that magic that like allows for the game to still be really fascinating and interesting, that, you know, it's the uncertainty, it's the random of the chaosness that we actually like, that makes us like watching the game. If we knew exactly who was going to win every single time, why would we ever watch, right?
Yeah.
Entrepreneurship is similar in business as well. And it's almost kind of like goes back to like the compound interest of time and money, right? It's like the more you practice, the more you swing, the more likely, like it's like what was it, Wayne Gretzky who said, like, you miss 100% of the shots that you don't take.
Yeah,
so if you don't take any, if you don't take any, then you're never going to hit a home run.
Yeah.
But I love the analogy that he takes even further with baseball. It's like, baseball is even limited in the analogy itself.
It is.
Right?
It
that
is.
Like, actually, business is the top game that you want to play. Mm-hmm. If you're interested in it, obviously some people don't have any interest in it at all, but mm-hmm. obviously this is our game. We love this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, regardless of whether you're, you know, working for someone or you're starting your own thing, but when you're starting your own thing, that's where Jeff Bezos was really talking about, right? It's like,
yeah.
basically you got to just like keep going. It's always day one.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, you have the potential of not just hitting a grand slam where you score 5 points,
no.
right? Or 4 points, sorry,
yeah.
With three runners on the base, including you,
yeah.
right? You actually have the potential to swing it to hit it way further than
yeah,
you could have ever imagined.
Just from one single hit.
And he's the perfect person to say this because, like,
yeah.
like you said, he was just a basically an online bookstore
exactly.
from A to Z and delivering things. And wow, he could never have even imagined the number of times he kept on swinging over
yeah.
and over and over again would ever get him to this position as one of the richest
yeah.
people in the whole world.
Well, how many failures has Amazon had? The truth is we actually don't think about that often.
It's true.
And I honestly can't think of too many. I mean, I remember Amazon tried to come out with the phone. And that was definitely a failure. How many people
yeah.
have an Amazon phone? But in all honesty, that's not what we remember them for. What we remember them for is the successes. And for sure, one time that Jeff Bezos swung for the fences was when he developed the AWS, the Amazon Web Services, where it was basically a server to host other people's website. And he was able to do it at a much lower rate than any of the competition available out there. And that ended up being the most profitable part of the business. When you ask about Amazon, what is the core aspect of it? And you ask anyone about it, they're going to say, oh, well, Amazon Prime, buying everything from A to Z.
That's not where they make all their money.
They made it from Amazon Web Services,
yeah.
which is what propelled them to have enough funds to further expand Amazon Prime and go into all these other realms.
Exactly.
But he experimented with the web services. He was just playing baseball.
Yeah.
He swung at the Amazon cell phone, strike. He swung at Amazon Web Services, home run, exponential, bigger than he could have ever imagined. Like, he was like, it was an experiment, just a little tippy top, you know, little spice on the comida.
Yeah.
And it, all of a sudden, it becomes the whole gusto, the everything,
yes.
everything that the future of Amazon's growth became dependent on that. And now, It's kind of like ruling the internet in a weird way. You
well,
know?
It's really interesting because it's actually allowed him to scale and not have to make any money, like
mm.
with anything, with shopping, logistics,
yeah.
like anything. And he's acquiring warehouses, more trucks, more airplanes. Like, it's like he could spend so much money that he's made from AWS and really completely infuse all other aspects of Amazon that he feels like he's willing to bet on,
yep.
And not get a profit from. It's
right.
actually better for him. And
yeah.
we, you know, that's a whole other topic that a lot of
that
know, big companies are doing.
Topic, though.
It really is. I mean, people are like, I think a lot of people are maybe not well educated on like what tax, like when a corporation is announced that they haven't paid taxes, like what does
mm-hmm.
that mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that maybe that could be an interesting episode for later. But in going back to Jeff Bezos and Amazon, though, I think what is so interesting about like that analogy specifically, it's like, to me, it like almost like, why wouldn't you swing? Like, why
yeah.
wouldn't you just always, like, you're not going to go for a bunt. What's a bunt going
to
get you?
Well, it's easy to say, why wouldn't you swing? But like, literally, if you know 9 times out of 10, you're going to fail, most people, and including us, it's scary to
it
swing.
It is. Well, and that's what I'm saying is like, it's motivating. It's a nice thing to hear. Like when
Absolutely.
when you're in the midst of like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm doing this. Why am I doing this? Like, why don't I just go get a job? Why don't I just do this? Like, maybe I shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, dude, then you're not swinging. You just basically gave up your at bat.
Yeah.
You know, you keep on putting yourself in a position where you can be at bat. And it's okay
yeah.
if you fail, because that one might lead you to the next one, which might lead you to the next one. And then you get the home run.
Yep.
And I think this is a really interesting, you know, just like thought experiment to play with too.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
One of the things that I've noticed, at least, you know, I wouldn't say necessarily in my life, I think we have really great people in our life, but I know that people go through it, and I have gone through it for sure,
mm-hmm.
is people question you, like, what are you doing? Like, what are you guys even doing?
No,
you
know, because they don't 100% get that. Don't deny that. We do. Like, they get that 100%
like,
of the time.
Yeah, and it's like, just chill.
As everyone does get that, you should get that.
You should get that.
Especially if you're, because if you're not getting that, then you're probably not going for a big enough dream.
Right, exactly. But I think that the thing is like when someone asks you that, and you don't really have like a great answer, or mm-hmm. maybe it's not satisfying to them. Like, who cares, really?
Or yeah, or to you.
Or to you. Yeah. Like yeah, if you haven't figured out what your answer to that is, and it's a question that bothers you, if it doesn't bother you, then awesome. But if it does, then you mm-hmm. know this is where I think this. Advice comes in really handy. It's like, you know what? Not everyone's going to understand because not everyone's swinging for the fences. Not yes. everyone is trying to get as many at-bats as possible.
Yeah.
And like you said, not a lot of people know what the failures of Amazon yeah. are. And if you Googled it, I'm sure you could find them and all that stuff. But what do we know about Amazon? We know that it's super successful. We all mm-hmm. use it. I mean, I remember when we were in India, Amazon wasn't doing very well. And there was like a whole case study on like why it was not doing that well. But the thing is they're constantly evolving and pivoting.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a
really playing like, the game.
They're playing the game.
But they're not just playing the game to get on base. They're playing the game for swinging for the fences home run.
I mean,
and in all honesty, the rate, he says, you know, 9 times out of 10, you fail, and then it's all about that one, and you should swing when it's 9 times out of 10. The honest reality is I actually think it's a way worse ratio than that.
Yeah.
It might even be 99 to 100, but you still should be swinging for the fences because if you just get that one crack, that could be the most incredible game changer.
Yeah.
If your dreams are that big, and I will 100% say our dreams are that big, and this doesn't just resonate with Amazon too. I remember Mark Cuban talked about his moment when he was developing his $1 billion business, which in all honesty, radio at the time in the 90s, yeah, it was radio for the internet. He literally was like, we're having this one moment. And I remember he told his like little small staff, it wasn't even more than like, it definitely wasn't more than 50. It was like 20, I think, maybe even smaller. And then he goes, either two things are going to happen. One is it's just going to go kaput and then we'll all go have to go get a job or find some other type of work. Or two, if this works, it's going to go way beyond our wildest dreams and we got to go for it. And he was like, he kind of got everyone on board like, okay, well, let's go for it. And they freaking did it and they got the deal, $1 billion deal with Yahoo. Mark Cuban, I mean, come on, he's the real dog. So it goes for everyone in every business. And I do at some point want to have a little bit of a conversation about like where we're at. Like let's be personal with our friends. I don't care. Like let's tell them about like where we're at and like how we're like actively pursuing this swing for the fences type mentality.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I mean, we've had a lot of conversations about like what is it that we're trying to do here? Like it's mm-hmm. a constant evolving thing, and
it is evolving.
Time's
going fast.
Time's going way faster. I feel like we're in a time warp, and I just feel. But part of that is also that we are able to spend our time doing the things that we want to do, and so we do get lost. We get into a state of flow, which is really interesting to me. I think too.
Hence, another reason why we do view the most valuable currency to us in this current moment is our time.
Time, yes. Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry.
But I was just gonna say, I think, you know, the big bet for us coming out of the PhD, obviously, like the world was completely different. We've explained this many times, but I think when we were drawn to the podcasting world, mm-hmm. I mean, it was something that we felt, you know, like this is a way to get our voice across. This is a way to get us out there. And mm-hmm. it's not in a normal blog, which is super old and outdated. We might still do blogs, but I think the one thing that we wanted to pursue was podcasting. And we were like, you know what? We're not going to be good at it at first, but we're just going to keep on practicing. We're just going to keep on trying. And I really do think this is crazy. This is like the advent of the new radio. Like mm-hmm. this is like not like you have to have, you know, 106.5 FM to like listen to your favorite talk show host. Like you can be in India and listen to this. Like you could be anywhere in the world and still listen to our voices. How fantastic is that? And there's not like a screen fatigue. You mm-hmm. know, there was like so much that really made sense to us in the podcasting world. And we're like, you know what? Let's just do it. Let's just try. We're experimenting. We're going to experiment. We started with trying to do scripts. We're like, nah, let's scratch that. Let's like actually start like to really get the flow together of a conversation. The art of the conversation. It's like no one's having, they're just filming themselves, like mm-hmm. talking to people. Like maybe it would be interesting to have, you know, just a conversation between, you know, husband and wife and, you know, best friends and like people who are really curious, like have very, we're different, but we're aligned in the fact that we're really curious about a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of leaned into the podcasting world.
Yeah. Well, I think there's two aspects of that that I want to harp on. One is I feel when we finished the program at OSU, we entered this, we didn't want to go back to what we were doing before OSU, and we didn't want to go into what was expected the next phase that a PhD graduate would enter. We were like, it just doesn't feel like it's our calling. It's not a big enough dream per se.
Right.
And so we chose podcasting not to enter as just like, hey, we're here and we're just like doing like a little marketing thing. We're approaching this in a completely different realm where we are trying to do this. First off, I don't know. I honestly, there's how many podcasts are doing a daily podcast
episode? Yeah, we post every single day.
And then two, we're approaching it more of like allowing it to evolve and change in real time with our listeners who are listening to us, and they can hear the changes occur, and we put ourselves out there. And I think that's a kind of a really cool thing. We kind of played around with that with Life Out of the Box Part 1, where it was like, hey, let's just bring them along on the journey. And that made us unique. And now I think we're starting to really define where it is. And the podcasting realm is so different. I feel like you look at all the kids in middle school and high school, you ask them what their dream job is. So many say, I want to be a YouTuber.
Yeah.
That's like the standard, the easy, like, you know, it's how many people are like, I want to be a podcaster. Well, I actually would not be surprised if in the later point in time,
yeah,
we see that kind of shift.
I agree.
And this, and we also chose to enter this realm because we did so much research on what's going on with podcasting. And this was, we did this before Joe Rogan made his 100 whatever million dollar deal with Spotify.
Yeah.
And there is an interesting little time period that we're in right now where podcasting is kind of the wild, wild west. Anyone can just grab some mics and then record. I mean, literally you could do it on your iPhone and then you upload it and then it's on Apple, like bada bing, bada boom.
Well, and it's completely decentralized too.
Right. And, but no, there's only very few. It just started to occur where they're signing podcasters to exclusive platforms.
Yeah.
So whether it's Audible or Spotify. And that is like, we're playing this game, which I don't think a lot of people that, you know, that maybe just casually are like, hey, how's it going? Or what are you up to? And we're like, oh, we're doing podcasting. I think they usually go to the idea of like, oh, that's cool. That's not innovative. That's normal.
Spear School
of Business has a podcast or whatever, you know.
Yeah, this industry.
We're approaching it like home run. Let's go.
Well, this industry is consolidating in front of us. This is like a time period. Like there is a window in every industry that you can only really see looking backwards, right? 2020 hindsight. But this is there. It's consolidating around us. It's right now very much decentralized. Yeah. So like meaning like, in order to publish a podcast, we're not like teaching you how to do a podcast. Like there's plenty of articles out there that you can, read or watch YouTube videos on.
Yeah.
But basically to publish it, you have to have an RSS feed. Do you know how old the technology of RSS feed is? You're not uploading it to Apple's podcast. You're not uploading it to Spotify. You're not uploading it to these big platforms.
No.
You're simply giving them a web address, a feed. This is how blogs used to be back in like the 90s. It was crazy. So it's really interesting to see how the technology has not advanced very much, but the demand is there. And this is like what we're talking about, like land grab, like where, what industries are happening. Like when you start seeing the consolidation of like Amazon starting to buy Wonderly, Spotify's buying up Joe Rogan, they're bringing on Michelle Obama, they're doing this, this or that.
These major shifts.
Huge things are happening and people are like, that's not innovative. Yeah. Are you kidding me? There's so much innovation that's going to occur. And so that's where we're really excited. It is. Well, I mean, if you're not into the world of podcasting, you just like to consume it. Why would you really care that much?
Well, but it kind of goes to the root of like, if you're asked, like, what do you do? And I almost do feel weird just being like, yeah, we've been podcasting. That's what we've been most excited about, because it's kind of like, womp, womp. It's not like, oh, no way. You're working on this crazy innovative thing. But to me, it's like what we're doing is so much bigger than that. It really, to me, I really feel like what we're working on every single day with these whiteboards evolving and changing on the daily, like these conversations we have, and we have a lot of them just right here with the microphone that we share with our friends. They really help figure out what is that next step to get to the next step. And the whole time, there's no question in my mind that we are swinging damn hard for the fences, and we will. I believe it, but it does take a lot of bad ideas to get to that one slam dunk.
It does.
And I feel like it's becoming a little bit more clear the more we do this.
Well, I could not agree more with you. I think that the truth is a lot of times whoever you are, I mean, I guarantee you, Mark Cuban, I know this actually, I can almost guarantee that I've heard an interview in him saying that he was super misunderstood. No one understood what the heck he was doing with the radio. And I'm not saying that this podcast is the same thing. We both know that this podcast is, you know, the next step to doing whatever else is next, right?
Yeah, but
this
we established is on episode one.
Episode one, exactly. And we haven't even marketed this stuff yet. Yeah, like
zero.
This is, I don't know what episode this is going to be, but this is definitely going to be beyond 100.
Yeah.
And so we've decided, like, at episode 100, let's relook at, like, let's look at back at all the conversations that we've had, and let's see. Let's look at the marketing space. Let's look at the data. Let's look at the digital media and marketing space, how it's changing, how it's evolving. What platforms are we most interested in really getting into? How can we really build a community that is engaged? I don't want to monetize our community yet.
No.
If ever, who knows, right? Well, we want the goal is to really to create a real genuine community of individuals. And that's where we felt like the podcast would take us there. I mean, it's also a lot of different things where we were like, we want to eventually, you know, become really great public speakers. This is one way to practice and help us do that.
Yeah. But to me, the money is a lag variable.
Yeah.
I can't believe I'm wording it that way, but it really is something that if you're doing something that's seriously impactful, seriously something that's making a change or shifting stuff, that the money will come. The money can come, but if the more you focus on just that positive change, the better you're going to set yourself up with. And that's all we're focused on.
Exactly.
100%. And I'm very excited. I think that the key with a lot of our listeners is I do want them to know that the bigger your dreams are, the more likely you're misunderstood. And therefore, it does feel uncomfortable when you are swinging for the fences and perhaps consistently feel as though you're not making that connection.
Yeah.
But the key is you need to keep swinging. Keep swinging. Don't stop. And for us right now, this is why we literally are pouring all of our time and all of our effort. I mean, it sounds like we're like, you know, if you ask, where's John and Quinn? Oh, they could be so misunderstood. Oh, they're podcasting in Florida on the beach in Treasure Island. I mean, it literally sounds like we're on honeymoon right now.
Yeah, I know.
And I am very happy to be here and I'm living my best life with you, but nonstop. I mean, literally nonstop from when we wake up to when we go to bed, we are constantly thinking on the whiteboard, talking about this, writing down ideas. I mean, this idea came at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
A few nights ago. And so it's a consistent game, and that's why we view time as the most valuable thing. And I think a lot of our friends put that time aside. Find some time for you to do something that swings for the fences and make sure that you go after those big dreams. Why would you? Who wants tiny dreams? No one wants a tiny dream.
Yeah, well said. I will say, you know, in terms of, you know, tiny dreams or big dreams, it's very relative to who you are, right?
I understand that, yes.
And don't worry, it takes time. We have to be patient. We have to tell ourselves that all the time.
Dreams can come in steps, perhaps.
Exactly. We have multiple podcast episodes where we're like basically sharing our raw like lows with you guys and trying to get through them, right? And just be patient with yourself. Know that when you're swinging big, it takes time.
Yeah.
And so that's what something we tell you this because we try to keep telling ourselves this too. And
we have to remind ourselves. That's a good point. Yeah, we have to remind ourselves too.
And this is just one step along the way. And I'm really excited and I'm enjoying it. And that's the thing that you have to do is like just always keep going.
Yeah.
Just don't stop. That's what it is. It's a game of numbers, man. It's a game of statistics. Life really is in a certain way. If you can just like a baseball game is, right? It's a game of statistics and numbers where I can really actually drill down the odds of this person actually making a home run, hitting a home run or not, right? And the people who I could probably quantitatively assess in baseball who are going to statistically hit the most home runs in one full season, not in just one game. It's not a game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the full season overall looking out. It's the people who try to swing for the fences.
Maybe it's two part. You kind of made me think of the baseball game in a different way. So it's two part. One part is you got to play the game.
Yeah.
Like you got to play the game. You can't just
suit up.
You can't just be distracted by other things. So, and there's a million distractions, whether it's another job or family life or whatever it is. There's a million things that could be going on. So first part is take time to play the game. And then when you play the game, don't just swing to get on base.
Yeah.
Swing for the fences. Know that you're going to strike out. Know that it's 9 out of 10, maybe even worse than that, your strikeout rate. But if you just hit one, boom.
Exactly.
Dreams big dreams can come true. We believe it. We live by that.
We do. And we really encourage you guys to get out there, go play the game, suit up, put your best face on, be brave, and just, you know, seriously, you can do this. Like this.
We believe in you.
You know, there are a lot of unicorns out there. No one's trying to necessarily be the next Jeff Bezos or anything like that, but you never know what could happen. And the only way that you can guarantee that it won't happen is if you don't play. Mm-hmm. So go out there and play.
Go out there. And we mentioned earlier that we do zero marketing. Hey, let's do a little bit of marketing. Guys, if you have a chance, subscribe to our podcast. It's just helping us get a little bit more data on what we do next as we're swinging for the home run hitter.
Yeah, and please, like, word of mouth is everything. You know, if you feel like one of your friends might actually like this episode or another episode that we recorded, please feel free to share or just reach out to us and tell us that you like it. Okay, yeah. We love hearing from you guys.
It helps us a lot. So we hope you all have a great day. We appreciate you, and we can't wait to talk to you tomorrow. Adios.
See you then. Bye.
Enjoy this journey.